Welcome to Healthy Outcomes, brought to you by Baker Tilly, bringing you the latest trends and hottest topics in healthcare. Baker Tilly is a leading advisory, tax, and assurance firm dedicated to helping healthcare organizations explore ways in which they can win now and anticipate tomorrow. Let's go there.
Hi, my name is Mark Ross, and I'm the leader of Baker Tilly's healthcare provider practice. Joining me for today's Healthy Outcomes podcast is Ed Ricks. Ed is a director in our healthcare solutions practice here at Baker Tilly. Ed, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
You bet. Today, Ed and I will be discussing several topics related to the overall healthcare environment with a significant lean towards IT-related matters. And we're going to focus on IT-related matters primarily because that is Ed's background, his primary background. And so Ed, with that said, can you please provide our audience with a little more background on yourself?
Yeah, sure, Mark. So prior to joining Baker Tilly about 2 years ago, I spent almost 25 years working in provider organizations, 20 of those years as a CIO at four different institutions. And then about the last 4 years, I was a chief operating officer at a system. Then I left the provider side about 5 or 6 years ago and worked for a large IT integrator on their as their director of healthcare, sort of driving innovation and solution-based selling for that organization.
Okay. So pretty broad background, but significant time spent, Ed, working with healthcare systems, right?
Almost a life sentence.
Almost a life sentence. That's a good way. In healthcare today, that's not a bad way to put it, yeah. Ed, right? With all the challenge. Well, actually, and it's not only today. Listen, 25 years ago, 30 years ago when you started your career, it started getting into healthcare. I mean, there were challenges back then too. And some of those same challenges that were there back then are here today. It's just, you know, the intensity level, I guess, relative to each of the challenges, much, you know, a little bit different, but also there's new challenges, right? I mean, challenges just, you know, continue to evolve as healthcare systems and the healthcare environment continues to evolve. So again, another nice segue, Ed, into, we talk about challenges and we're going to, you know, first question I have for you is the recent impact of the ransomware information security breaches. You know, we've all read about, it's been very well publicized what happened with Change Healthcare within the last few months. Ed and I are recording this podcast here in late May, and the Ascension system, you know, one of the largest systems in the country, recently had a breach as well. And so, Ed, when you think about those, and again, Change Healthcare, Ascension are just two that have been well publicized. There's many others out there that certainly have happened. But from your perspective, and as you think about your background on the IT side of the house, what has been the recent impact of these breaches, these ransomware attacks, et cetera?
It's always a relevant topic, first of all. So not only the recent impact, but I think the long-term impact. I want to tell you a story first. So probably 10 years ago, somewhere in that time frame, when there was the first big breach that became public news everywhere, and it wasn't healthcare, it was Target. I don't know if you remember that in the newspapers. I went to our first board meeting after that was announced and became very public and sort of the impact it had on the organization at Target. And one of our board members said, "Boy, I sure am happy that something like that couldn't happen here." And I said, "All right, wait a minute. A, it probably already has. You know, we just don't know about it. But, you know, just think of the resources that somebody like Target back then was putting at the problem and look at what we do." You know, so it sort of helped me explain that IT information security really isn't a technology problem. It's really a risk management problem. And I think if we look at some of these more recent exposures, so the Change Healthcare was so impactful because so many organizations use their tools and their daily processing and what they're doing to run the organization. And with the Ascension breach just recently, the impact that just delivering care for those organizations, we've become so reliant on the technology that we've got to be prepared for these things to go down. And everyone has always had like some sort of a plan for when we're down, but it's really different. Like when you think about how do we deliver care completely differently when there was no storm in the area, there's nothing that like we're bracing for a hurricane or something. You know, it's just out of the blue, all of a sudden, you got to shut your systems down or disconnect from the internet or whatever. So the two things that I've seen, one, you're seeing the public response is way more intense, I think, now, like all these class action lawsuits that are popping up already from patients and some of the folks who represent them back to the organization. So to be prepared for that in advance. But then the healthcare institutions and all the people I talk to every day, now we're all just getting smarter about how are we always prepared? How do we have like two avenues to, you know, manage our daily processes when you look at what happened with the Change Healthcare? And I think that's a big piece of it. So not only just to be ready and aware and have your tabletop exercises and everything, but just like technologically, how can we have more than one avenue to do almost everything that we do so that we're more prepared for outside breaches that don't even impact our organization, but they do impact the way that we deliver care.
Got it. Well said, Ed. And you mentioned two words there that I think tabletop, I'm going to say is one word, and then tabletop exercises. Those are the two words I'm talking about. But so that concept, and I'm not, as you know, Ed, I'm not an IT guru, right? I know how to use the platforms that we use here at Baker Tilly, but that's the extent of my IT background. But I have read about and heard about a number of our clients going through these, I guess, ransomware tabletop exercises. Can you talk a little bit about, because I think that's what you're referring to, right? Almost like a disaster recovery, like a response plan, if you will. Is that what the exercise is all about?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's incident response, right? It's just a different kind of an incident. So it's not a mass casualty or like I mentioned, I live in a hurricane zone, you know, to be prepared for a hurricane. And what do you do when we lose electricity? But it is, how do we respond from a technology and a people, you know, like a resources perspective to a potential incident? And, you know, the worst case scenario is we literally shut down the EHR or we disconnect from the internet, which is always the first step whenever there's any sort of inclination to think that you've been breached. And that's important. And I think most places have done this forever, so it's not like a new concept, clearly. Sometimes people just look at it as another piece of homework. Let's get through this. It's almost like Joint Commission preparedness, that you sort of practice it, but you're not really as ready as you think for when the time comes. But the reality is it is going to impact, I'd say, every organization at some level at some point. They may not get a breach. I hope they don't. But someone else may, one of their business partners, and it's going to have an impact in the way they deliver care.
You stole my thunder there a little bit with your last comment, because what I scribbled down here as you were talking was it's really not, I guess, not having the attitude of, you know, if this is going to happen to us, and you know, should we go through these, you know, this incident response plan, should we go through these tabletop exercises? It's really not a matter of if. I mean, most healthcare systems today, I think, I don't know, you tell me, would generally have the attitude as they think about planning, right, for these types of incidents. It's kind of when it's going to happen, right? I mean, it's not if, it's but it's when.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think part of the planning more historically was the IT teams were doing these incident response tabletop exercises. What do we do? But really now it's the operational leaders, the clinical leaders, the people who are going to be impacted by losing the system. So, you know, let IT focus on bringing things back up. And there's definitely a mechanism and a plan for them to work on that. But what are the clinical teams doing and the operational leaders? How are you prepared to not have a system for an hour to a week? You know, you've got to be prepared for both of those things.
Sure. Well said there, Ed. So I guess a related follow-up question then for you is, and I think we kind of touched on it a little bit with these tabletop exercises or incident response plans, developing those, but beyond those exercises, Ed, how are systems responding to lessen the impact or mitigate the impact that a ransomware attack or an information security breach would happen with their organization?
I think in addition to the preparedness, right, and hopefully being ready organizationally, I'll give you a good example. I had chatted with the CIO last week from a multi hospital system, a pretty big, you know, national system, and they were very impacted from the Change breach, for one thing. And what he told me was, we definitely learned, like, we need at least two routes for every kind of workflow or something that we do that goes beyond what our IT is, you know, so whether it's a service that we use or something, and, you know, we're going to get smarter and do that. And they're not alone. Like, most people didn't have that. They may have more than one route of egress to the internet or something, in case, I always said, as long as they make backhauls, you're going to have fiber cut somewhere in your town, you know, so if you can have more than one route to the internet, that's really important. And most people have done something to get redundancy there. But now look at services. So it's not just the communication, but it's what do we do that's like very impactful to our day-to-day operations, and how can we be prepared to manage that? I think most organizations could not afford to have twice as many partners for everything for that redundancy, but it's a matter of how do you manage those risks and lay out what are the biggest risks are, manage those, and just be aware of the others.
So on that, Ed, it's more, and you made reference to the Change breach and the discussion you had with that system, but what it's not only looking at your internal systems and what could happen to you, but I think what you're saying there is it can also be looking at what happens if one of your business partners or vendors or somebody, you know, like Change Healthcare obviously is an integral part of the reimbursement side of the house, right? For a lot of healthcare providers across the country. So thinking about those other entities that tie into your business and how a ransomware attack or an information security breach can impact them, if it impacts them, the impact that it could have on you. I mean, that's got to be a somewhat difficult, again, no, not an IT guru, as I said earlier, Ed, but that's got to be a difficult process to manage.
Yeah, there's so many components of that. And like any other risk management exercise, it's identifying what you have out there and trying to rank order the ones that you can address and the ones you just need to be aware of. And that's it. You can never solve everything. You can never buy enough technology. You can never have enough redundancy. You can never do enough user training. I mean, there's all those components around it. But the more awareness you have and the more you've built a plan, the be responsive. I think that's the goal that most people go after.
No, that's a great way to say it. And I mean, no system, no entity in any industry is ever going to be bulletproof, right? Relative to these types of issues impacting their businesses. So that was a great way to say that, Ed. So just a more simplistic maybe then question, Ed, and I guess maybe ransomware attacks, you know, information security breaches do tie into it. But when you think about the current state of healthcare IT today, and you know, you mentioned you were a CIO for 20 years for system, then COO. So you've been involved in the IT space for a long time. But what's the current state from your perspective of healthcare IT?
So we're so far advanced from where we used to be. Like you talk about when I first started out, we had electronic systems, but it was mostly a medical record system, you know, and a billing system. It wasn't really a clinical system back in the day, and those evolved. And what's kind of crazy is the more we evolved those, and I was just as much part of this problem as a lot of other people, we added so much complexity to the way the clinicians deliver care, all with good intent, the meaningful use legislation. I sort of blame that too. Like I really put everything in the hyperdrive, you know, to incent folks to build out those EHRs really quickly. But if not done well, you've just really changed the way people deliver care. And, you know, again, no bad intent from anybody. We're trying to collect information. I mean, there's a huge patient safety improvements based on the information that we collect and can share and drive insights at the right time and things like that. But it still changed the way clinicians deliver care. And so I see those who are like really trying to optimize systems and take advantage of not only new technology, but just a different way to think about things. It's really sort of reducing some of those barriers to care. Like how do we create a little bit more simplicity in the environment? It may not mean less technology. It could be more, but nobody should know that. The patient shouldn't know it. The clinician should know it. They should just be able to deliver care in the appropriate fashion. And the technology sort of takes care of things in the background. We're not there yet. What I see more often than not now, when people talk about how do you help me optimize my EHR or something, these places, a lot of them, this is the single biggest investment they have outside of bricks and mortar. And in some cases, they may pay more for a new EHR than what they've paid for any building that they've constructed, you know, over their lifespan. But yet they still don't take full advantage of them. It's really hard to get 100% utilization, I would say, of all the tools and, you know, drive efficiency in an organization from an EHR or an ERP system. And, you know, I talk to people and try to help them look at ways where you can drive that utilization from whatever they are, 70%, let's say 80% today, to closer to 90%. And remove some of the redundancies that they've got in their workflows, take better advantage of the software they've got, maybe reduce expense somehow because of better utilization of supply chain or improved workflows in the software, capture charges better or more reimbursable chargers, or you know, certainly make sure that you've got the environment set up so you're even capturing the correct charges for the services you perform so it improves your rev cycle and things like that. And that's how people look at optimization. Now it's now not really something that you talk about from a let us send you 10 staff aug resources and we'll clean up the environment. We still do a lot of that. I think people just look at it from a different lens now. It's like, help me optimize. That's going to drive the things that are important to me. And those are the things that are important to everyone in healthcare, right? So it's a better patient experience, a better clinician experience, improved outcomes, reducing expense, you know, driving revenue that's reimbursable and sort of those challenges.
Sure. And you used the word optimize there, Ed, quite a bit in that response. And so you mentioned, you know, EHR, ERP, there's a whole host of other IT platforms that systems are using today, or any business uses. But how would an organization go about prioritizing, you know, and I guess it goes back to some of what we already talked about relative to ransomware, information security breaches, et cetera. But, you know, where do they start, Ed? So how do those systems, when they're looking at optimizing their overall, say, IT environment, you know, an IT environment, that's it's a broad phrase there. Where do they begin? What's your recommendation to our clients that you work with relative to, you know, where do we start? Do we start with the EHR? Because that impacts, you know, dollars and cents in the door. Do we start with the ERP? Well, that impacts internal processes, process flows, which impacts financial performance. Like, so what are your recommendations there, Ed?
Yeah, that is an answer that could be all over the board, but I think it's looking at where your best opportunities are and what have you given the most attention to, you know, over the last 10 years. And there's so much new technology too, right? So I probably didn't really answer the good question about the current state of healthcare IT, but just from a technology perspective, the tools that are available today are just, you know, light years ahead of what you could do even 3 or 4 years ago. And I think just looking at what you've got from an overall system, and so that includes to me everything, and then picking apart workflows and where do you think that the most improvement, you know, you can have the most impact. And it could be a combination of all those areas. And I think that's how people look at things, like, help me improve our overall environment. And, you know, it doesn't matter which system, so to speak, we're impacting the overall system and utilization, I think, in the long run.
Sure. And Ed, so I think what you said there, maybe said a different way, is just kind of inventory all the systems you have, IT systems you have. I mean, that's the starting point, and then prioritize where you're going to focus your efforts. You know, what's the low-hanging fruit, if you will, right? And focus on that where you can get some early wins, and then leverage those to move on to other parts of the business. But you also mentioned new technology, Ed. So just curious about this, is that we sometimes see clients investing. I mean, again, technology is ever evolving, as you said, and there's new technologies, you know, every week, every month, every year that are coming out that can impact healthcare providers. But it can be somewhat overwhelming. I mean, sometimes do you find that providers are just buying so much new technology, acquiring these new technology platforms, and that could potentially just continue to breed that situation where you're not optimizing the current platforms you have. You continue to acquire new technology, layer those maybe platforms onto the existing platforms, or maybe it's a completely different technology. I'm not sure if I'm asking a question here or making a statement, Ed, but there is a danger into just continuing to invest in technology without a plan to optimize it. Maybe that's my theme there with what I just said.
Yes, I'm going to turn it into a question somehow.
Thank you. One of the things
that used to always bug me when I was a purchaser, right? So when I was a CIO on health systems, were the use by vendors of what I'll call buzzwords. And some of the things, I even am embarrassed to talk about it in some aspects today, but even things like AI. Like, AI is legit and it's real technology. And there are use cases that are really impactful. But if you just are buying things to have the newest buzzword in your organization, you're doing things for the wrong reasons, right? You should be improving the way you deliver care in your organization. And if everything you do is going down that path, then I think you're doing the right thing. So some of those tools are incredible. Instead of talking about it as an AI solution, maybe you look at it as a workflow improvement, like delivering virtual sitting, or, you know, some of the things that you see in technology today that really have an impact on the bottom line. You can reduce expense or improve care and outcomes, but the buzzword part isn't meaningful to me. It is to the vendors to sell it. I totally understand that. But it's a way that you have to talk about it, I feel like. So yeah, you nailed it. I mean, you can make the environment even more complex for all the wrong reasons, or you can reduce the complexity of delivering care by probably adding really good technology, but still let the clinicians take care of patients the way they should, the way they used to.
And you mentioned, Ed, that these systems, these, you know, EHR platforms are not inexpensive systems, right? They're, and so continuing to optimize them, there's an ongoing investment, right, that organizations need to continually make into their whole IT environment, all the IT environments that they're using. So from a funding perspective, Ed, how can organizations continue to fund those efforts? I mean, there is a high level of spend every year, right? And what are you seeing on the funding side of it, if anything?
You know, it seems like everybody I talk to, and I'm sure you'll validate this from the discussions you have with organizations, is we always have to do more for less. It sounds like just like a running line that people use, but it's so true. like, how can we continue to improve when we've gotten less net revenue every year, or, you know, whatever, our payments go down, reimbursement changes, regulatory changes, everything's got an impact to the bottom line. So how can we do it? And typically, you know, when we're looking at opportunities for optimization, it really does drive around, let us show you the ROI. I mean, let us show and capture, measure, you know, the progress of what we're doing that is driving ROI, so that you can pay for the initiatives. The net is you've got a better tuned system, your workflows improve, hopefully it drives, you know, user satisfaction, clinician satisfaction, but also let's reduce expense, let's improve reimbursable revenue. I mean, all the things that are also very important to an organization, not let's just put in the next version of something, let's do something really meaningful and pointed.
Great response, Ed. And I think what you're getting at there is, you know, let's make sure we're identifying the, you know, the return on the investment that we're making in the IT environment, right? How do we measure it? And then make sure we are measuring it on a go-forward basis. And when we're realizing some of the goals, if you will, or objectives that we set out to achieve at the beginning of the implementation process.
Yeah, for sure. And some places do a great job of that today. There's no doubt about it. But I just think the focus around that for everything that you do is a great way to measure your success.
Fantastic. Great. So Ed, I'm going to completely pivot now away from IT, although IT is certainly embedded in this. And I'm going to ask you a question about M&A activity. And certainly we know in the healthcare provider space, there's been a lot of merger and acquisition activity over the last 10 plus years. And now today, I mean, we're seeing, you know, years ago, we were seeing larger systems acquire the community-based hospitals. You know, they were smaller transactions. You know, these days, the transactions are getting larger, where you could have two very large systems coming together, multi-state, multi-hospital systems coming together with another multi-state, multi-hospital system. And on the IT side of it, I just mentioned goals, objectives, when you're implementing new IT platforms or investing in your IT environment, and, you know, setting goals, what's the return on investment, et cetera, what do we want to achieve? So my question to you is, how good do you think healthcare systems are at, again, identifying those goals, those objectives of what do we want it? What do we, these two organizations, want to achieve out of this M&A transaction? And let's set up a project plan to implement the transaction such that we're going to achieve or realize those goals. Because I think it has been well publicized over the years, Ed, that when healthcare systems sometimes come together, they expect to achieve a whole host of economies of scale. And then when they do a hindsight review 2, 3, 5 years later, and they look back, you know, and oftentimes they realize that they haven't accomplished everything that they felt they would accomplish. And, you know, is that project planning? Is it execution? It's probably a combination of both. But overall, do you want to just comment on M&A activity and improved efficiencies and you know, project planning, et cetera?
Yeah, and you know, there's so much of that in the market. And you're right, you know, years ago was the one large tertiary system acquiring a community system or two in their neighborhood, so to speak. And it was more about collecting referrals and extending your network a little bit. Didn't necessarily help with economy of scale. And I think that's what you see now is people are, their focus and the diligence up front is all around economy of scale, negotiations for, you know, payer contracts, for purchasing, all those things you would expect to achieve. And while I'm sure everyone plans this, it is hard. It's really hard to fully integrate those systems. And if you just even rolling it back to the IT perspective, because that's, you know, the most background that I have, it's really, really complex to do that. So you may go, you know, from all of those other hospitals may merge onto, say, one instance of Epic or Cerner, whatever it is that they use for their EHR. But what have you done to clean up the environment from a legacy perspective? And you mentioned earlier about like an inventory of all the things that you have in IT. That's like really step one, very foundational, is every application that the organization and now the larger organization has, let's get a list of those. Let's figure out which ones should go away. Which ones do we like archive data from so that we still have our medical record to work with going forward, but can eliminate some expense, get rid of whether licensing, data center, cloud, whatever it may be, you know, for those applications and rationalize those down. Huge savings opportunity. That's one of the things that I always see land at the very end, if ever, on some of these projects. And when you talk about some of those multi-state giant system mergers, and there's been, you know, a handful of those over the last few years, is so impactful, that environment that's out there, that doesn't even speak to the forward planning. You know, how do we bring everyone over to one system just from a workflow perspective and everything? So much effort that that other stuff almost falls away into the background and doesn't get addressed.
Sure. And I think that the one point you made there, Ed, which is a great point, is that when systems, you know, they may not achieve, as I said, everything that they set out to achieve as they do that hindsight review. And it's not necessarily because they didn't want to achieve it or they didn't try to achieve it, but it's complex stuff, you said, right? You know, integrating these systems, even if you take that large system that's integrating one community-based hospital, right? That's a complex integration. And now you're, as I said, you know, the transactions are getting larger, they're becoming even more complicated. You know, and if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? If it was easy stuff, everyone would be doing it. But I think that's a great point there. And I think project planning, I mean, I often say to our clients that are interested in M&A or pursuing M&A, you know, the 10%, and I you might use a different percentage every time I say this, but it's a very low percentage of the effort is finding the right partner, right, to move forward with, right? Who do you want to affiliate with? You want to make sure the cultures blend effectively, et cetera. But then 90% plus is in the integration. I mean, that's where you've got to invest the time, spend the time, make sure you're, again, going to yield that ROI on the transaction. And ultimately, you mentioned this earlier, right? It's about, you know, improving the quality of care, right, that we're providing to patients that come through our system. I mean, that's ultimately the goal for every healthcare provider out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ed, so why don't we close up with a more personal question, although I won't get super personal here with you, Ed, on the podcast. But, you know, you were a CIO for many years, right? And then you held the, you know, COO role for a few years too. And, you know, C-suite executives, again, it's just a challenging sector right today. A lot of moving parts every day, tough to prioritize. You got to pay attention to everything. I mean, everything matters, right? But when you think about your role as a CIO years ago and now your role today with what you're doing with us, what do you miss most about being a CIO at a healthcare system? And maybe what don't you miss about it?
So I'll start with the bad, I guess, and let's end on the positive. How's that sound?
You know, that sounds great.
Here's what I don't miss, the things we talked about in topic 1, 2, 3, and 4 earlier. It is a complex environment. So many things are out of your control as any individual leader, right? I mean, there's no one person that can manage or be in control of all the things that happen around you, a large organization. The information security piece, I think for all my CIO colleagues out there, that is the one thing that, you know, even for those I think who have great organizations, really well run, good planning, the right tools, the right culture, the right, you know, education and awareness is something that's on their mind 24/7. And it should be, right? It is something that can be so impactful to your organization. It used to be, I remember, you know, 20 years ago, if our system was down for half a day, I'd have doctors come up to me and say, oh, that's the best day I've had in 3 years or whatever, you know, joking around. And now it's like, if you're down for 2 minutes with a system, it's dangerous. I mean, you could impact the way care is delivered to patients. And with everything is online, there isn't a paper record anymore, thankfully, but it is so impactful to the way care is delivered. It's just, that was the thing that always just sat on my mind 24/7, even though I had, you know, really good people always that manage those areas and I feel like we were doing the right things. You're never fully ready and you're always at risk. So that was probably the thing I missed the least, right? So don't mind that. But I'll tell you what I loved and what I do miss is I do miss the mission. I love that camaraderie. I mean, I've worked in a couple organizations since leaving the provider side and worked with great people, made really good friendships and enjoy what I do. It's just different, you know, and our mission is different. I think the mission in healthcare and just the camaraderie and sort of everyone's in it for the same reason and trying to improve the way you deliver care. And, you know, heck, I'm a patient in the community I live in, you know, so I want people to be feeling that way in those organizations. And I really miss that.
No, it's a great way to end our discussion here, Ed. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And every time, you know, I interact with you, I learn something. So over the last 30 or so minutes, I picked up a few extra things from you here today, Ed. So I do appreciate, truly appreciate your time. And I want to thank our listeners for joining this podcast. If you found this episode useful and would like to listen to more episodes about hot topics in the healthcare industry, please subscribe to our Healthy Outcomes podcast or learn more by visiting us at bakertilly.com. Ed, thank you again for joining me.
Of course. Thanks, Mark. Good to chat.
Thank you for listening. To receive notifications when new episodes are available, please subscribe on whichever platform you get your podcasts. For additional resources, check out bakertilly.com.